5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yeah, don't stress. This will go like. The next 2.5 hours will be quick.
I knew that was going to be the follow-up.
And we're done at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, you're
6 o'clock if you're here for you.
Yeah.
Are we doing, Joe Rogan? We doing 3.5 hour podcast?
Yeah. Wow.
We're looking at 30 to 45, just depending on how things go. So,
if we let tap your hands for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. If we let Kussmeyer talk, we might be here till 6. But
we're going to do 3 hours. We're not coming in.
I'm not the one that rolled in with this.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
thanks to you, though. I mean, I'm glad you did. But
let him talk at the beginning.
No. Yeah. You guys came prepared with sheets. So, I don't know. We'll figure out what's on those. But,
it might flow into whatever you're talking about anyway. So
yeah, it could be. Well, first of all, before we go too far.
Yeah.
Just want to say your name and what you teach.
My name's Eric Shelton, and I teach computer-aided design drafting, machine tool. I teach some robotics and automation classes, and a few other things whenever I'm needed.
Workforce development.
And I also do workforce development.
All right.
Chris Klusmeyer. I'm currently the technology department coordinator. I teach classes related to industrial maintenance, manufacturing, a lot of soft skills training, and a considerable amount of workforce development training.
Jason Church. I teach HVAC and refrigeration, so heating, ventilation, air conditioning.
Brian Hicklin. I teach the construction and building technology program. It's carpentry specific.
Nathan Ellett. I'm the welding instructor. I also do some workforce development.
I have not forgotten. I talked with Nate 10 days ago, so about you guys have a cool camera specific for welding to be able to kind of show on a bigger screen a small what's happening. And I came out to kind of look at it because I know it came with some items in a kit and there's some software. I've dabbled with it a little bit. I haven't forgotten about you. I just want to let you know.
I was starting to wonder.
yeah. I've gone through some of their videos and stuff, and I may just have to come out one day and tinker with it. But yeah, so, and they're building a road off the main chute here, so you no longer have to, like, drive off campus around. It looks like they're, I don't know how long that's going to take them. They got it pretty well carved out.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be much longer, and it'll be nice. You'll be able to access the HVAC and welding buildings. When you come into campus, it'll be the first right, you know, and go right up to the buildings. Instead of, like you said, now you got to go off campus and around a couple blocks to get over to us.
They're extending the parking lot as well.
Oh, so are they?
Yeah, so this parking lot is going to be, I think, another 60 feet, something like that. So
yeah, well, 60 by 100 maybe is what I heard.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I came out the other day, I mean, it was basically full.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's
it's at capacity.
Those are needed. Those mm-hmm. extra spots mm-hmm. are needed.
It's actually over full.
Yeah.
So, yeah it's going to be really nice.
Now, those, you said you had a hand in kind of helping design a little bit of the building that you're in for welding.
Yes. When I didn't help design the building itself, but when I started, the building was just wrapping up construction. So, they kind of handed me the keys, and we went through the process of ordering the equipment and installing all the equipment from the ground up. It was literally an empty building that was almost done with construction when we started.
Okay, cool. And then next door, you guys are running HVAC. And then you've right. been, like, I don't know if collaborate's the right word, but you've built some bases for some of your equipment, some, like, structural.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And a rack, yeah, for our refrigerant bottles, and another rack for our recovery machines. So, yeah.
And then were you talking about running some piping across to their building?
Yeah, well, we're going to be installing air conditioning with spot cooling in their building.
Okay.
So the one system would be we'll air condition the space. And then the other is going to have 2-inch tubes coming down, 2.5-inch tubes, into each welding booth. So they'll actually have air conditioning blowing directly on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I guess mm-hmm. inside the booth, it gets pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty.
That's yeah, especially in the summer. You know, it's hot outside. It's hot in the shop.
And no air movement. Yeah, those big screens.
It's not moving. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're wearing leather sleeves, and they're literally creating heat while they're working. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it gets really hot really fast in there in the summer.
Now that's the collaborative. Now you guys were a little hush hush when I was there last time, but I don't know if you've ever like welded their door shut or.
It's tempting.
It's tempting.
There's been a couple little things, but nothing that. Yeah, no, it's building up pranks. To that. Okay. Yeah, it's building up to that for sure.
I think I owe him one at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Welding humor.
He does.
I don't know if it was like police versus firefighters kind of friendly rivalry.
He does owe me one, so I'm waiting. Yeah,
they're pretty tight.
That this one lasted. Yeah, this prank. I'm not gonna get into details, but it lasted about 4 months.
Yeah, it wasn't funny though.
Playing the long game.
Yeah. It was funny to me, though. So
it's all that matters.
That's right.
And then you guys recently went to the zoo.
That's right.
See some of the, like, behind the scenes.
Yes.
How was very that cool. experience?
It was awesome. Yeah, when I first contacted them, it was kind of like, hey, we have this tour for water conservation, or here, this one's on these animals. No, it's not really what we're looking for. Let me talk to your maintenance guy. Let me talk to the head of maintenance. So about a week went by, and then she got back. She said, hey, I talked to him, and he wants to set up a tour just for you guys. Yeah, so it was a one-off thing that he made for the HVAC students. So we went down under the ground, underneath the penguin house. We're on the roofs. You know, we're all over the place. It was really, really cool to see something like that.
Nice. Yeah. And did all the students make it back, or were any eaten by the polar bears?
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
You have one or two that you were tempted to nudge?
Yeah. There's a gag order on. I can't talk about that. But no, it was a great time. We went out to eat afterwards. We went to High Point and had burgers and came back, and they all slept like children on the way back in the bus. And yeah, it was great.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That sounds awesome. Like one of the more fun field trips I've heard of.
It was fun. Well, yeah, because after we did that, then we all hung out.
Yeah.
And went around the zoo. And a lot of those guys haven't been to the zoo since they were little kids.
Sure.
You know, so it was a good time. And then the guys are like, come back. They said, we really enjoyed having you guys here. So he's like, I'm going to try to find something else you guys can see. So we might be going back even with this crew.
Yeah.
But definitely next time. You know, my next class.
Well, even, every year.
Like, yeah,
that'd
absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
Mm, they loved it.
One of my best zoo experiences, it was just my mom and I. And I think it was like early December. And there was like 6 inches of snow. And the trains and most of the stuff were shut down, but the zoo was still open.
Yeah.
Very few people, but the animals loved it. Because normally it's humid in St. Louis, but they, even the non, even your more like jungle or hot climate animals were just like out enjoying the cool weather.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it was, that was a great, great day. Now, so you guys are in the bigger, new, I think we're calling it the ITC building. And that's the big one that you see coming in on the main road. So now with the, you said carpentry specific, I've been over there a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like you were you roughing out like a house type frame or?
The students and I were prefabbing wall sections for the new softball athletic training facility.
Oh, okay.
The coach, C.J. Wright, approached me a couple months ago and asked, especially with the weather being the way it is, in the middle of winter, if we'd be interested in prefabbing the walls. He got the material donated from Botkin Lumber, and we're just framing them in 10-foot sections. And I stood some of them. We stood some of them in the shop just so the students could see how they're going to look in the erect position and to, get a visual because they're 10-foot tall walls. But, that's what we were doing when you came in.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, do you have like a big garage bay door on
I
the
do.
Other side?
I do, yeah, and Chris and Eric have a similar setup. We all have pretty accessible, large size openings. I mean, they're 16 foot tall by 12 foot wide. So it's nice to know that when we do need to prefab things or get expensive, heavy machinery in, we can just bring them in through the back.
Open the door.
Yep, and that's how I'm going to get those walls out.
Now, you were in my office. I keep a football and a basketball and stuff. I saw out there you guys have a couple hockey sticks, football.
Yeah.
For taking breaks.
Yeah, we do. I initially brought this out as just an icebreaker for the students. I remember what it's like going into a class, and, sometimes students just need a little icebreaker before they get working. And, I used to play sports, and I just like having it around. And I also have quite a few athletes. Three of my four students are athletes at MAC, so it's just, it just makes sense.
No broken windows yet?
No, not yet. We use we don't use a hard rubber puck.
But
I saw the ball, yeah.
Yeah, we use a combination of a ball and a puck, but, you know, that guys come up every once in a while. It's just good to, you know.
Yeah, play on the roof like they do in, was it Clerks?
Yeah.
Play hockey on the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. So then you guys are, you're kind of the old guys.
Oh, wow. Let's go with your season. How about season?
Season, yeah.
Yeah, experience. Yeah.
Eric is the veteran.
I say, so, boy, you're behind Eric, so.
Eric is a veteran.
So we used to be, is it not, okay, I get my north.
The North College Center.
Yeah, now all that equipment has been moved up.
Right.
And you're still using all that, like, what are the electrical panels? Oh, no, you said you, I saw you had some of those, I think.
Yeah, I took some of those, the trainers that you're speaking of.
Yeah.
We've distributed some.
Yeah, some of the trainers that end up in my building. Yeah.
So, but you're more than the tool, the coding.
Yeah, so in the space that I'm in, I have a lab that's dedicated for computer-aided design and a normal classroom structure. And then the lab space, we have a lot of new equipment. So the equipment we had at North College Center, it's interesting getting it in and out because whenever we first got it, we had to tear out some windows and some walls and then had those go back in. And so the whole moving process, getting everything over there, was interesting. But then, so we were using some CNC machines. We had a big Lincoln plasma cutting table, a laser cutter, a few bigger pieces of equipment, and then you know, your standard shop tools like a drill press and grinders and things like that, you know, those weren't that difficult to move. But it was a real interesting time trying to get everything moved from the opposite corner of campus over to
the furthest possible distance.
Some of that, like our robotics equipment, when they moved it, they had an interesting way of moving that, which was basically on a forklift. A few things didn't quite make it back intact, but it's still functional, still working. We've got replacements.
Yeah, all things considered at all.
Even with the small incidents, everything was over there. But we got a lot of new equipment. We spent a lot of money to upgrade our programs. I've got four Haas VF2 CNC mills. I've got three SY15 CNC lathes. We've got a new water jet cutter that cuts 5x10.
Wow.
I'm excited to use that. Installation is a little slow going, waiting on installers in the field. You know, they can't just come on a whim. You know, you have to schedule them so far out, and they're so busy that it's taking a while. But we've got all that new equipment. A lot of the stuff that I have is not just for machine tool. It's also for my CAD students as well. A lot of the technologies these days require a CAD drawing to be converted into a file that can be used by that machinery. And so a lot of times people that have that equipment, they're not CAD people that run, and you know, people that run the equipment, they don't know a lot about CAD. But then a lot of times CAD people don't know a lot about machinery. So I try to marriage the two ideas and have students that are able to come up with a drawing that can be converted to a file that can be cut out on those new machines. And you know, students are really liking that. We just did a project, our first project on the laser. They were able to make a little Kirby head keychain. I let them come up with their own design, and they're like foaming at the mouth, ready to use that stuff, and they're excited to not just sit behind a computer.
Sure.
They want to run that machinery. And so, yeah, we got a lot of good stuff going on.
So knowing the software and the hardware, that almost makes too much sense. Knowing both ends of it.
It's we like, can't make sense around here.
Well, it's like architects and engineers.
Oh,
it's like the engineers know what can and can't work, and the architects, they seem to never get along.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned a lathe. Are you now you're working mostly with metal?
Mostly with metal, yeah.
I was thinking, because lathe is, like, you can make bowls and stuff, right? That's,
yeah,
like, out of wood and things.
You can. The purpose of what we're doing with our lathes is more on the machining side of things, where they're cutting out parts that would be made out of various metals, aluminum, stainless steel.
I see.
Those types of metals.
Okay, cool. I've always wanted a planer. You guys have one out there?
Yeah, I think Eric has one too. Yeah, I have a Grizzly planer that's working right now. We've used it quite a few times. It's a good tool.
Nice. Yeah, those are great. A little much for my garage. Price wise, but
yeah, you can get a mini one, or you can get a little like DeWalt, the compact one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't looked.
I know you can borrow one.
Yeah. Yeah. Planer is definitely an essential in any wood shop.
Yeah. Nice.
So in the machine shop, I do go beyond just metalworking. So I teach a variety of engineering classes as well.
Okay.
And so in those design classes, they'll design a project and they'll have to go build it, prototype it. And so that's going to require something more than working with metal. So, you know, we'll prototype something out of plastic or wood or something like that. So I have some woodworking tools as well.
Are you doing any 3D printing?
Yes, we are. I've got some really cool stuff. We've had a 3D printer for a while. And, you know, when this project came about, I thought, hey, you know, let's do something that a lot of schools aren't really doing. So I invested in 3D printing. And I've got a composite printer that will print a variety of different things, different materials. And one of the first things that we printed on it was, it's a slice of pepperoni pizza. And it printed it so realistic that I can put it on a plate and give it to someone and they think it's real pizza.
Nice.
The bottom of it even has that brick oven burnt
texture.
Look to it.
Wow.
Yeah. I have.
That's a great use of the technology.
Yeah. Great use of the school's money, Eric.
Yeah. That's our tax dollars away.
You know, it just shows you how realistic comes out.
Yeah. In the right hands, it could useful to society.
Right.
But
so a lot of 3D printers, when they're extruding the plastic or whatever material it's printing, you get one, maybe two colors of plastic. This one, it uses an extruder technology where it heats up plastic and it shoots it out like a hot glue gun and layers it.
Cool.
This is more like a laser printer. So it has a liquid that it ejects onto a bed, and it can do a whole gamut of colors and color schemes. And so you're able to, if we wanted to, we could print frames for eyeglasses or sunglasses, and you could do the little speckles in them and the decorative designs.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty advanced technology. In addition to that, we have I bought two different brands of metal printers, so we can print things in 3D that are made out of metal.
Some other food item, probably.
Yeah.
Iron.
You might want to call your dentist if you're biting on any of those. You know, a lot of times when you're printing things, you don't think about, you know, being able to print things out of metal. And so I have a variety of different materials, like Inconel is a very hard and dense metal that can actually be printed. Stainless steel, we can print things out of stainless steel, aluminum, copper, tool steel. The way that it works is it's basically powdered metal that is infused with some kind of a binder. And you have to heat it up in a sintering oven, and then it, you know, it kind of fuses everything together.
Wow.
And it's pretty durable.
Yeah. That's some wild stuff. I'm picking up this undercurrent that you're really into lasers. You're like Goldfinger and James Bond. Yeah. Like,
well, we have to go where the technology
is. Yeah.
You know,
they're used in so many industries for different things.
Yeah. Sharks with laser
Sharks
beams.
With lasers on their heads. Yeah, let's get on the stuff that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of my goals was, if we're going to be training these students to be able to get a job somewhere, they need to make sure that they are trained and educated in the most current and relevant technologies.
Sure.
And so that was really my goal whenever I was looking at this, is I don't want them just to be able to draw something in 3D. What is the end goal in industry when they do that? Well, it's to make something, and I wanted the students to have that experience and learn those skills as well.
And then finally, Chris, what would you say you do here, if anything?
Not a whole lot.
Probably not much.
I
sounds like these guys have it covered.
Yeah, they pretty much got me covered.
Lots of naps.
I'm the end game.
Yeah. Is there a hammock in your office?
I sign off on days off, approvals for funds that we may or may not have, those kind of things. So in my everyday life on here, I teach classes related to industrial maintenance and manufacturing. And so in the shop that I'm in, we have a diverse amount of equipment in there as well. All of our fluid power equipment, our electronics equipment is in there. A lot of our mechanical equipment, the Amatrol's here working on our mechatronic systems, which is pretty much a combination of everything technology related, mechanical, automation, electronics, fluid power. That's gonna be pretty cool for everybody. But some of the things that I teach, it's interesting. Industrial maintenance specifically is one of those areas where there's so many different disciplines in it. And now that all of us are here, we have the capability to teach all those different disciplines. You know, when you think of industrial maintenance, in my eyes, it's a very generic term for a lot of different things. Previous to being able to the facilities that we have now collectively, I don't mean just the ITC, I mean HVAC and the welding building as well, we have the ability to expand that program considerably. Before, we were kind of restricted on space. We primarily, that program was focused on electrical and like fluid power and that kind of thing. But now we can modify those programs to accommodate the other disciplines. We have the construction, the HVAC, the welding, and those kind of things to better utilize the facilities that we have and the instructors that we have. So that's kind of what I do. Some of the classes I teach are fluid power, electrical, electronics, the math classes and such, among other things. But those are the biggies. But I think one of the big things that, you know, the new facilities bring is the ability to combine disciplines. You know, you're talking about machine shop. I mean, that goes right along with what Nate does. And, you know, being in the future, being able to better work together on multiple disciplines. You know, if we were just talking yesterday, Jason was over, we're looking at some of the new electrical stuff. You know, he does electrical in his program, but he may not have the space to have the expansive amount of electrical that we can over in the ITC. So getting those kind of crossovers going in the different disciplines that we have, I think is gonna be one of the biggest benefits of having the more space and the quality of the instructors we have. Because we all have different backgrounds. You know, Brian and Nate and Jason, they've got their specific disciplines. They're good at other things, but I'm saying those are the things that, you know, that's what they're darn good at, you know. And so being us being able to kind of mix all the different skill sets we have, I think is gonna be a great thing moving forward for all the programs.
Is that a situation where, like, are your students able to come up to the bigger space to do certain tasks?
Yeah, because we're just started electric. So he's got some really nice AC/DC trainers that I can teach him that. But when they each pair up on a board and they have a specific skill set they need to go through, and it's very laid out, it's very obvious, it's nice for them to piece all that together.
Sure.
Right? Now, they came over, I mean, they blew through that thing, because we kind of did that in real world on the furnaces and whatnot, but when they came over here and they could see it laid out, it was like a puzzle to them. They could just really lay that thing out. So it's nice to come over in his space and use that. You know, because I don't have that over there, and I really don't have room for something like that.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just
we
can
talk
trip.
About the piping. I teach piping, so you know, if Brian needs a piping class, I can teach him the piping class, because I've got all the stuff to do that. So you definitely mix and match. You know.
Yeah, Nate and I were just having a conversation yesterday where my CAD students are going to be working on a project that they're going to cut out either on the water jet or the plasma table, and. I was asking Nate if he would like to have his students
piece
weld
do
them
the
together.
Assembly, right?
Yeah, right.
He sounded kind of excited that was something we might be able to coordinate. But
yeah.
it kind of brings together that real world of, you know, here are some parts that have to go together a certain way, and his students are going to be responsible for making that happen.
Yeah, they love projects. They love having a project. Nobody wants to sit in a welding booth all day,
right,
all week long, you know. So to be able to get out of there, put their hands on something, collaboration that works for both classes, yeah, that's exciting. I like doing that. Just like our classes built all the shells and stuff for the HVAC building. And we've talked to Brian about maybe building some stuff for the carpentry shop for shelves and whatnot.
Lumber and yeah. Yeah.
Right. Sure. Well, he's building the house now. You know, my plan is to bring my guys over and chop it up and put vents in it and ductwork and you know,
Nate, you actually you left out another potential collaboration between you and I, and it's 90% Nate, but he's building a really nice custom trailer over in his weld shop.
Oh yeah, let's plug the fundraiser for sure.
Oh, was I not supposed to?
No, go ahead.
But you know, he mentioned that we could put the finished deck boards on it once it's done. You know, so he would fabricate and assemble the frame.
Yeah, absolutely. And carpentry students can do the woodwork. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. So to shamelessly plug the trailer, it's a 16-foot trailer that's 6'4" wide, dual axle, dual 3,500-pound axles. It's going to have a drop gate, and the foundation has bought all the material. They've completely funded the project, and when we're finished, we're going to hand it off to the foundation, and they're going to raffle it off. So it should be a really good fundraiser for the class. Is super proud of themselves for doing the work.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it should make a little bit fundraiser. Should make a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned a while ago soft skills, and when you've got groups, you know, you're handing off a project, whether it's in writing or communication. There's got to be extreme clarity as far as your vision, what you guys, you know, this is how we need it to go. And then of course, if there's a problem, saying, okay, here's why this isn't going to work, or it is. Mm-hmm. Are your students able to interact like that? Or
I don't, none of our students have actually, you know, had conversations, been in front of each other. But yeah, it's a perfect complement. You know, they can make the parts, we can assemble the parts. Their students can see what the finished product is. My students can see what it's like when parts come in and they have to, you know, do assembly.
Follow a set of prints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The other thing is they get a sense of what all the different disciplines are. You know, although we, you know, like I said, we're in different buildings, but they hopefully appreciate what all the different disciplines do, and when they get in the real world, how it's significant to know you know, more than one skill set necessarily. I know we have some very specific disciplines, but the reality is they have to know more than one skill set to be, to be a successful welder. They have to be able to read blueprints. It's not just the welding.
Sure.
It's not just hammering the nails or whatever. There's a lot more behind the scenes. And the more we can let our students see that or help them understand that without just forcing it down their throat, help them understand it more naturally by the collaborative projects, then probably the better off they're going to be when they get in the real world.
Do you worry at all, like if a student were to take all of your classes, that they would become too powerful?
Never.
Overqualified for every job.
That's how super villains are made right there.
Never, because there's no super replacement. There's no replacement for real world experience. Yeah. You know, this is the basics. You know what I mean? This gets you started, but I don't think there's a replacement for.
Yeah. We don't have any Iron Men yet.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Well, and I mean, look, the fact that there's this much collaboration to begin with, given that these programs are really just kind of getting started, I can only imagine where it's going to go from here. But I mean, for this early on, for these many things where your projects are coming together, I mean, that looks great for the coming years.
And the other thing is the industry is buying into what we're doing, and I mean all of us, not me, not Eric, everybody, what we're all doing collectively, that the community sees it and the industry see it, that it's relevant. So it's not just us creating a program that has no relevance out in the world. You know, they can go, okay, yes, we want a program like this. Or they tell us, yeah, you have this program, but, you know, this is what we really need now, you know. So I think those are important characteristics as well. The industry buy into it. Like Nate and Eric said, we do a lot of industry training as well. People come to us and say they're looking for a specific, you know, a class on one specific topic, and within reason, we can, you know, create those classes for them.
Fairly flexible and addressing.
Yeah. Which brings in a different demographic, I guess is the correct term for that, of people that may not ever set foot in a college setting. Or even if we go to their facility, for that matter, we do a lot of that as well. So I think that's a very important part that maybe not all other departments have that ability to reach out to the workforce and say, you know, hey, we can bring training to you, or you can come to us for very specific things. So I think that's great for our department.
Yeah, and the businesses, that they see immediate results. You know, it's not like we have to send somebody for a whole year to try to figure this out. They see immediate results.
Yeah, for the employers, I think a lot of times what they look for is not someone that just has skills, but someone that can think on their feet. They're given a problem, and maybe they don't know the solution right then and there, but they have the ability to problem solve and figure it out. And so I think, you know, we try to coordinate that into or build that into what we do in the classroom, is not just say, here's a set of instructions, follow the instructions, and have the end product. It's like, here's an open-ended set of instructions. You interpret what that's supposed to be as an, and then you come up with the end result. And then I think that just makes them, you know, a stronger or a better employable person to a prospective employer.
Well, two other things, you know, is work ethic. I think we really instill that just with our strict, you know, policies of when you're going to be in class and what happens if you're not in class. That, and then also the attention to detail, right? It's like we're bending conduit. They got a level on everything. So these guys, you know, half of them have jobs. So they go out and they see all this crooked ductwork and just the stuff that's just not right. And they're just, they got holes in their tongues from biting their tongues. I told them, said, you're the new guy. Don't go in there making waves because you're the new guy. You don't know anything yet, but make note, right? You know, but make note of that. And so the attention to detail with all of us, you know, is definitely there for sure.
And learn, teach them to manage their time better. Again, it's those hidden things, the soft skill things that maybe we're not teaching them directly, unless we have like a teamwork class or something like that where it's, yeah, it's kind of in your face. But some of the other things that are just, you know, like giving an assignment. Don't look now, but that's, it's about learning to manage your time, whether it's in class or outside of class. You've got this time to figure it out, to get it done, you know. And those I think those kind of skills pay dividends that you can't really put on a plaque, you know.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Well, and even beyond, you know, whether it's an employable skill, things like this, just kind of taking a step back, like you guys mentioned, just a sense of pride and like, hey, we made this thing. You know, we're in academia. I'm a big fan of higher education, but I also like mowing the grass because when I start, the grass is tall, and when I'm done, it's short. There's a finished, you can see something has changed.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of times, whether you take a test or you write a paper, you know, nothing really has changed. And so that sort of ability to, I guess similar, I mean, even to a piece of art, where you make a painting, at some point you're finished, and it's like now you have the thing.
Well, the project-based learning, and these four guys do much, much more project-based learning than I do, just because of what I teach. What I mean by that is, in the end, they've got something that, I mean, you're not going to walk out with a wall, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A tangible end result.
Well, if they come back to campus at homecoming in 5 years and the softball batting cage or facility, I mean,
my first class built handrails around the dugouts at the baseball field. They're schedule 40 inch and a quarter pipe. They're there. They're going to be there for a long time. And that was one of the things, you know, they can come back. They can come back in 15 years from now, and those will still be there, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool for sure.
That's one of the big, and I keep harping on a similar topic, but that's one of the big deals about having the facilities we have now, is that we can do projects like that. Anybody that's been around here a long time knows that that was not something we could have pulled off. I mean, our previous instructors that were here could not have pulled that off.
Yeah, it's the just, space.
Yeah.
Now, are there extra, I know that we have space where, like, if a company says, hey, we need to train some people, but we don't have the room for it,
yes,
we're going to come here. But we've got some additional bays.
Well, we have classrooms and we have a couple of bays. We have the innovative space or flexible space, as we called it initially. It's innovative space now. That's available for events like that. It's been used by the nurses. I think US Tool had a party here. There's been other things, but those are the things that stand out just because of the sheer volume of people that were there. But yeah, those facilities can be reserved and rented. And we've also got regular classroom space as well. We've had several businesses over the past couple of weeks come in.
And the industry and education meetings.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting because...
Nice. Yeah, sure.
You know, there's the five of us here, and three of us teach in the new building, and, you know, the number of students we have, and you pull up in the morning to work, and it's like the parking lot's full. Like, whoa.
Who are all these
people? Yeah. And you know, the community has been able to utilize what we have and be a part of this new facility that we're able to share with everybody. And I mean, and if nobody's seen it, they need to come see it, because it's really, really a cool thing to see.
I guess that does give us an opportunity to invite,
we want them. We want,
conference, absolutely. But like,
We do tours a lot. I mean, I think you've got tours Friday. We did tours the other day. And
we have students coming in from Arcadia Valley to shadow our technical programs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, tomorrow.
So, tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I'm supposed to come over for a photo in the morning.
That's me.
Yeah.
I need an updated photo. I need an updated photo with my four students.
I'm sure all the listeners are like, that's the best part of the show, getting to hear about what he has to do in the morning. we'll talk after we're done here. But I don't know. This has been great. If you're in the community, come out to see the new building. If you're somebody, and I've had plenty of students, and I mean even myself, 30 years ago, this would have been a tempting kind of
career
option
for you.
Yeah. My dad was a mechanic. Grandpa was a mechanic.
We forgot about Auto Tech.
Is coming.
Anybody's looking for an instructor job, I think that's still on the table, isn't it?
I think it is, In August, Auto Tech should start. I mean, that's another thing.
So that's starting in the fall?
That's what it's supposed to,
I know they've been working on the bays.
That's another 20,000 square feet under that building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not. I was thinking about this on the way over, is that, this isn't just about the space or the buildings, mm-hmm. I should say. It's about what we have the ability to do compared to what we used to be able to do. And again, several of us have been around here a long time in this area, or even students here, I don't want to beat a dead horse because you know where I'm going with this story. But man, I can tell you that our predecessors that were instructors would have, chewed their arm off to get a space like we have now. And I mean collectively, not just the ITC, I mean all the buildings and such. But it's not about the size of the building, it's about the quality of the programs that we can put on and the people that are putting on those programs, because that's ultimately what it's going to be. Yeah, the structure may draw them because they can see that from a mile away, but we want to be able to put on programs that, that people want, and, we can highlight the abilities that and that businesses want.
It's not that we get, thousands and thousands of students who, don't necessarily want to follow the academic path, but for being a teacher for a decade plus, there's always one or two in every class where I'm like, man, this is not this would be an excellent alternative. Like, you don't want to be here, but you could apply yourself to something that's going to be more meaningful and valuable for you without just giving up or without just doing anything. And, going to work at a convenience store or whatever. So I'm super excited to just to know that these are now available for students coming out of high school. It gives them something, a different option.
Yeah, I would say that, with the experiences that I've had, there's been a lot of leadership that, they'll come up with an idea and it's like, hey, we need to do X program. We need to do this type of a thing. And they'll come up with a plan and then, okay, we have the plan, let's get it started, and they do it, and then there's no direction. I'll say here at Mineral Area College, the leadership here has been excellent as far as their vision, as far as what they want us to be able to. From the time I've been here, I started here in 2000, and there have been so many positive changes that I've seen. They come up with a plan, and they don't just leave you hanging, and it's like, this is the direction we're going to go, and we're going to keep supporting that. Whether it is, esports or soccer, softball, whatever, industry and technology center, technology stuff, they seem to really care about the way this is going to keep going. And I just have to say, the leadership at MAC has been really good as far as supporting all of us and all of our programs.
Agreed, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds to me like you got a performance review coming up. All my superiors are the best.
Well, then I'll be the bad guy and say there's always pitfalls with things. Sure. I mean, it's just the way it is. Nothing is perfect, but when you're doing this, I think the scope of what the school has tried to do over the years, I think the few pitfalls we've had are, can they be frustrating? Absolutely, no denying it. But the end is, you know, there's an end in sight to some of those pitfalls that we've had up to this point. And that's just the reality of it.
Well, but, sure. I mean, if everything goes too perfect, it's always like you're waiting for something bad to happen. But no, overall, it's been great. Mm-hmm.
With so much new stuff, there's bound to be growing pains.
Sure.
You know? Starting a brand new program from scratch, you know, you kind of have to, you know, modify as you go, see what works and doesn't, you know.
Yeah, there's going to be things that are unexpected. How do you deal with it? And I think, you know, I think there's a plan in place to where we're able to react to those unexpected things that come up.
And support, like you spoke of earlier, there's a room full of people to support each other. So if there is issues, you know, that's a resource that we all have to lean on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true of any discipline. I mean, even when I was in English, you know, even year eight, every semester, I'm like tinkering and tweaking and making adjustments. Okay. And to be able to kind of do that as you go and make it into a product that you know is like going to serve the students best it possibly can. I mean, that's better than saying, oh, we have to, you know, here's our rigid thing that we have to follow, even if it's outdated. So,
well, what we teach isn't static either.
Sure.
You know, the technologies are, they change regularly. You know, I always talk about like when we had renewable energy here, when I started here, there was a renewable energy program that was started as part of a grant program. And, you know, that was a big push in industry for a while, and then it became just a hobby, so it wasn't sustainable here. So there's things like that that, at least on our end, I think it's always going to be a work in progress. You know, what we have now, whether it's a building or a piece of equipment, is great now, but we have to be able to see that, and everybody has to understand that's going to change over time. The other thing I was going to say along those same lines is, you know, we, as far as like the little pitfalls that we have and that we're working through right now, you know, I think many of us, you know, are concerned about those things, because I think we want our students, as I've said before, you know, take ownership of whatever program they're in. You know, we want them to be proud of the program they're in. We want them to be proud of the facilities they have, the programs, and they can tell other people about it, not just go through the motion of getting a degree or certificate or whatever it is, but, you know, be proud of the time that they're at MAC, not just, great, I got a plaque and now I can maybe get a job. No, that it was a whole experience, I guess, is maybe one way to look at that.
Yeah, for sure. If by some miracle a high school kid is listening to us sit around and talk this long, it's definitely a great option to check out if you're not sure really what the right path for you is. If you don't see yourself as a, like you said, kind of classroom, everyday kind of thing, it's definitely, you know, a different kind of approach, but super valuable nonetheless.
And come see us. Come see the programs. Come see the buildings. Yeah. Take tours. It's open. We're all more than willing to accommodate. Someone wants to come in and talk and see the facilities.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, even when we were just in the North College Center, before we had all the others, it was that a group would come to do a tour and they didn't even realize that those programs even existed. You know, I can't tell you how many times I remember, mm-hmm. I didn't even know this was here. And we were talking local schools that would come in and do a tour, and like, no idea that you were doing these programs.
And yeah.
Now it's kind of in your face. I mean, it's you can't miss it when you come in, but it's interesting, you know.
Yeah. So. I would love for you guys to make like some kind of giant metal Kirby that like breathes fire. You could set them out by the highway. Set them out by the highway.
I got the fuel.
You could do the fire.
I got the fire.
Yeah.
I got the fire.
Yeah.
Fuel.
Yeah.
Weld together.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
We can do anything as long as we have the budget to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Anything can happen with time and money.
Manpower. Fire-breathing Kirby. Just the head or the whole bird?
I was thinking the whole bird.
Well, you're going all big crowd.
Maybe put some bird. Wheels under it so we can...
Yes.
A fire-breathing
Eric
Kirby.
Will have to make us parts.
Roll it in.
I like it.
Wow. Like
Brian it. Can build scaffolds so we can work around them.
Yeah. Think big.
Or brace to hold it up.
Never brace to hold it up.
Scaffold.
That's right.
Maybe it can shoot laser off the top of
it. Oh, there you go. Got the laser guy.
His lasers.
You got four of the people in here are creative. I've never claimed to be a creative person.
Well, that's why he's the boss. More,
you just rubber stamp right. the project.
That's exactly
don't ask
it.
Any questions.
We just need you to sign off on this.
Just sign it and look the other way.
That's right. Looks good. All done.
Well, really enjoyed talking to you guys today. Really excited about all the different kinds of programs we offer and just the way they're going to keep growing into the future. I don't know if you have any last minute meaning of life kinds of thoughts or just ready to get out of here.
Yeah. Come and see us. Like you said, come and see the programs.
You want to plug the CTE signing day?
Oh, April 18th, CTE signing day.
April 18th.
Yeah, it's a Thursday. I have to check my calendar. I think it's a Thursday evening.
I believe
evening.
It's a Thursday.
We did it last year for the first time in the gym. Now it'll be in the ITC, so that way people can get tours of all the buildings. We weren't able to do because we were in that kind of that transition, I believe, with certain things that we didn't be able to give tours last year. So this year, because it will be up near all the buildings, we can give tours and such. So it'll be a great opportunity for the students to get signed up for next semester for the fall and see in real time what they might be getting themselves into. The local schools should be getting announcements on that, and then there's some other protocol that's in place, so that there's going to be announcements made and such for that. But that should be a big deal. It was great last year. It was our inaugural program, but I think it worked out, all things considered. We're looking forward to having that.
So April 18th, new building. Yeah.
I think we signed up half my class that day.
You did. Mm-hmm. And you guys are nuts with your classes up there. You guys got full classes. In seconds, it was crazy.
Yeah, they didn't even know what they were signing.
I know.
Just
tricked them.
The welders.
Hey, guess what?
Sign.
Yeah.
Sign here. Okay.
Yeah. Just, here's a pen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for the people out there that might be listening to this podcast that doesn't really know what is CT Signing Day, it's we have an event where people come in, prospective students will come in, and they'll get a chance to look over our programs and decide if they want to be a student or not. And it's just like an NFL draft day or a college draft day. They sign, we make an event out of it. They'll get a small little scholarship to pay for books, tuition, things like that.
And we'll get pictures with us.
Yeah,
yes. That's the biggest deal.
And they will have pictures posted on social media.
It's the friends we made along the way, right?
That's right.
It's the most valuable.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a couple hours, I think it was, last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So April 18th, come on out for that for sure.
Yep.
See the new, check out the classes and see what we have to offer. Yep. Sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again, guys. It's been a really, really good talk. And for the listeners out there, if you're someone who can't make it to campus on a particular day, you can always learn more about the programs on the mineralarea.edu.
Yep.
Or your guys' emails would be out there. You could always reach out if you have a specific question or want some additional information. And other than that, appreciate it. And maybe we'll talk to you guys again next fall, see how things are going.
Sounds great.
Cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.